Hello, friends. Today's episode is brought to you by From Within Records. Strike Force Fanzine Issue 2.5 will be exclusively available at FYA 10. So please, if you're attending the fest, do yourself a favor and pick up that exclusive copy while supplies last. Also, Issue 3 will be available this spring. Shout out to Bob Wilson for FYA. If you're not following From Within Records on X or Instagram, please go click that follow button and stay up to date on all the current news. And like I always say, please support From Within Records because they support us. If you're looking for high quality merch for your band, for your business, please hit up my friends over at Good Fortune Printing out of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. You can follow them on Instagram at Good Fortune Printing. Or if you want to get in contact with them, please email them contact@goodfortuneprinting.com. You can thank me later. Before we get into today's guests, shout out to that LDB announcement. Pretty insane. Hatebreed obituary. I know I have a friend that's super excited for that King 9 set. It's gonna be insane. I'm very much looking forward to that fest. I'm looking forward to seeing Two Witnesses. Shout out Jim Baron. It's gonna be a great time. I'm so stoked to head out there for the first time. Shout out Tyler Short. On today's episode, we track down our good friend Noah Perkins, sings in a band called Ruin from right here in beautiful Orange County. It was such an honor for me to be able to sit down with a younger kid in the scene who's super passionate and keeping the scene alive, right? These are the people that are going to be here long after I'm gone, right? So it's so cool for me to be able to talk to these young kids who are so passionate, who are putting in the work to keep the scene alive, right? Doing bands, booking shows, it's not easy. So for them to be stepping up and doing this, it's such a cool thing to see. I'm so stoked on all the current bands from right here in Orange County today. So if you're not familiar with Ruin, please go boot up Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, Bandcamp, YouTube, whatever, and go listen to the demo. It's awesome. And it was recorded by Noah himself, super talented at what he does. I wish he would do more. Maybe he will. Only time will tell. But go listen to Ruin and then come back here and listen to Noah and I talk about everything. It was awesome. I'm so stoked to talk to someone in the scene who is going to be here to help keep it alive. It's not easy. I always stress that, right? We got to prop up these young kids. We got to give them the knowledge and the information to just help them in the right direction and hope that they do good by the scene. Some will, some won't. That's just part of the story. But talk to Noah. I think he's on the right track. Ruin's awesome. So I hope all of you get in tune, come out to a show, support that band. They're awesome. So please strap in, enjoy this conversation. Without further ado, welcome Noah Perkins to the show. Recording. Welcome to the podcast, Noah. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on, Jamie.
No, I appreciate it. You know, I'm a fan of Ruin. You know, I listen to the other bands that you play in, but you know, Ruin was popping up on my social media. I can't remember who posted it, but just seeing the name out there, and I've obviously seen you around at shows, so I just wanted to reach out and have you on to, you know, talk about the band, hopefully, you know, get more eyes and ears, you know, onto what you guys are doing.
Yeah, this is sick, man. Thanks. Appreciate it, bro.
And so for people out there who may not be familiar, can you talk about how you got into hardcore?
Well, I grew up, as many people in Orange County, going through and watching a lot of like Orange County like legacy punk bands. And that's how I got into going into like local shows. So like seeing bands like Adolescence and TSOL and whatnot at like the Observatory, which is the main one, was kind of me going into it, you know. And I'm from, you know, as some people may not want to admit it, I for a huge portion of my life, I grew up in Huntington Beach. So going like to Huntington Beach High School, that pipeline was pretty prominent amongst the, you know, the types of kids in my school, which was, it was a pipeline for sure. But through that, you know, you get exposed to other old school stuff. Like Cro-Mags was a huge connection there. Gorilla Biscuits, youth crew influence stuff. And then to be honest, dude, the fucking internet, you know, through the algorithm, you get into other bands and you go to shows and you start seeing the thing, you know, I'm pretty young, so haven't been around that long. So I'm just along for the ride.
I think that's awesome, because for me, when I look at the younger generation of hardcore, I've always wanted to be able to just let the youth know that, hey, like, you know, you guys, even though you're new, experiencing a lot of newer things, you know, with your, you know, short period in hardcore, I always want to emphasize that, like, you guys are really important to the scene, even though it may not seem like it, but the, you know, younger kids, they're the future. So I always try to, you know, even tell people who've been around for a long time, like, hey, like, yeah, you've been around for a long time, you might have some status or whatever, but never forget that the youth is what's gonna, you know, keep this shit going, because for us old timers, you know, they're gonna come a time and place when we're gone and we're not gonna be able to support. So to not want to encourage and empower the newer younger kids, I feel like that's a big mistake that a lot of people make.
Yeah, but like, I don't really want to be empowered. I don't really, you know, I don't think anyone my age really deserves any sort of big-headedness. You know, I have super mad respect for all the people that have been doing this for years, and especially who have had any sort of stagnation through how long they've been grinded, you know, and for especially if people are making quality music or not. I think it's really awesome, and I look up to a lot of people that are significantly older than me, and who I, you know, I really appreciate all that they do consistently. So I'm, you know, anyone giving me any sort of props, I don't really like it, because I'm like, I'm just doing the thing, you know, just trying to, you know, pay my dues, if you will. But yeah, it's kind of my opinion on that. Like, empowering the youth, super dope, but like, you know, we all gotta, you know, go through the shit.
100%. No, I agree. But like I said, for someone who's been around, and I do this to give back. So when, you know, there's newer bands, like that's what I get really excited for, because I honestly, I felt like there was a lull in Orange County hardcore for a bit. Right. So, definitely. So to see this new wave of younger bands, and even the bands that are, you know, like more established, you know, but still like they're on their come up, like, you know, when I think of a band like Major Pain, right. They, you know, more recently got signed to Indecision. Now they're playing, you know, something like For the Children, which is really awesome to see, Orange County getting some love like that. And to see newer bands like what you and your friends are doing, I'm like, okay, cool. Like there's some trickle down effect, because for a long time I was a little worried, because there was not a lot of bands coming out from this area, and the few bands that were, you know, in my opinion, weren't doing it that well. But to see you guys come out and kind of just like, you know, making what I feel like is a good mark on Orange County hardcore history, I think it's really cool.
Yeah, there's a bunch of bands that aren't hardcore within, you know, my age spectrum that come out of Orange County. It's not my cup of tea, you know, a lot of like like poser punk stuff, you know, things like that. I think there's a lot of that that's coming out of Orange County, and like the, you know, because it seems like three out of like the six venues, not many people want to play in Orange County. So you'll see a lot of them in there, but you know, all love to them, it's just not really my cup of tea. And I mean, huge props and ups to Major Pain. Fucking love that band, and they've been cool with us and everything. I'll go to program just to like, one, get like the $2 monsters, and two, just to like chop it up. You know, it's always like, if I'm having a shit day, it always be like, all right, that's cool, because I live like 5 minutes away.
Okay, for sure. Yeah, I didn't want to like say that just because I didn't want to dox you, but yeah,
yeah,
you live really close. Come after me. Yeah, live really close. And yeah, and program is something special too, right? Because when you think about DIY venues, there's not a whole lot of that happening out here in Orange County. Like there used to be some really cool DIY spots, but obviously like all DIY spots, you know, things get shut down and we just kind of have to move on to the next. But when you look at something like Program, like, yeah, by day it's an official business. They do you know, good stuff for the skate community and the music community, but by night it's like this awesome DIY spot that's managed over the years to have, like, you know, been able to stick around. Because if you think about like early as a program to now, like they've been through so much and there's been so many cool bands that have played there, and for them to have been able to keep it going with like not a whole lot of incidents, I think it's really awesome. And it's something that we have to appreciate in real time and not have to look back and be like, damn, like that was a cool spot, and, you know, and miss it.
Yeah. The amount of like communal respect that most people have for Program is pretty amazing. And to your point, as a DIY spot, it just seems like there's a really, you know, dedicated community that'll go to a lot of the shows and institute that amount of respect, you know, maybe if it's not widespread amongst all the attendees of the show. It's great to see something like that. And it's really one of the, you know, growing up in Orange County, pretty much, or definitely my entire life, and coming from other shows that aren't maybe as inviting into a Program gig, it was something I kind of fell in love with almost instantly. And that was just so different and, you know, niche, and was just a really, you know, after a few shows, you know, you get to know some people, evidently a very welcoming environment. So it was pretty awesome. And that place, you know, obviously fucking rocks. I mean, I don't think anyone disagrees.
Yeah, I definitely don't disagree. I've been to so many good shows there. And yeah, I've never been there and felt like there was any kind of like attitude or cool kids club. It was just like everybody was just, I felt like there obviously for the show, but just kind of in awe that there was like this awesome, like, you know, business that's willing to host something like this. So yeah, so huge shout outs to Chris and to Program for being able to maintain and just want to provide that for the community. Because like I said, business by day, they don't have to do these shows at night. So for him to want to be able to have that for the community, I think it's really special.
Huge shout out Kenny too. He's pulling tons of weight, just consistently booking out there too. So it's great.
Good old Kenny. Yeah, Kenny's funny. I like Kenny a lot. I always wish him well. Him and I have been through it. We've booked a lot of shows together, so he's a great person to work with, and it's cool to see him kind of take up that mantle and you know, be the one to keep the hardcore shows going at Program.
Dude, he's rad. He's sick. I'll grab him, play coffee anytime, dude.
Yeah, you know, I always argue with him with, you know, what is like the best coffee shop in Orange County. And yeah,
I won't go. I you know, I don't have enough money to check them all out, but I definitely like Play. It's like, you know, it's close.
And are you biased because it's close, or is it actually good coffee?
I don't know. I love romanticizing things.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm just like, good fucking coffee from the spot, you know. And I like downtown Fullerton, you know. It's very close to me. I love the aesthetics of it. I love the way they do their marketing on their socials too. And love the, you know, simplicity of just how good their basic coffee is. My order is really simple. I'll get Kenny's order. I'm like, this is like orange soda. Like, what is this? But otherwise, you know, I don't know. I'm not too much of a coffee snob.
You know, I used to not be like anything with coffee, but then I, you know, got invited to like coffee night. So we would go to like so many different coffee shops around Orange County. And when I think back to them, it's like, I didn't never even want to go back to a lot of those because they're just, in my opinion, bad coffee. And just by chance, I moved to Anaheim. I've lived in Anaheim multiple times, but I'm currently in Anaheim. And just by chance, there's this a Korean mall that I go to shop K-pop stuff. And I was going there for like the longest time and not even
That place is dope.
Yeah, and not even realizing that there's a coffee shop on the third floor. So I was like, oh, cool. Like, let me check this spot out because I haven't had coffee in a while. And I went in there and like I was just blown away by just like the atmosphere. Like the shop is amazing, right? Like high ceilings, just like super cool environment, very welcoming. And then when I had the coffee, I was like, okay, I think this is the best coffee I've ever had. But I just,
well, I gotta try it then.
Yeah, no. And I always like even like I brought my buddy Garrett, who knows way more about coffee than me. And he's like really into coffee. So I brought him there. I was like, I don't know if I'm just being biased because I, like coming here because it's convenient and it's really close to me, or it's just like really good. And he like, you know, gave the stamp of approval. And I brought so many people there and it's always been good reviews. And like when I take people there, I always like, you know, say this, like, when I take people there and it's their first time there, I like to buy them their coffee just so they can just you know, have an experience and not have to worry about paying. Just because like if it's bad, all right, cool, it's bad. Like I don't want you to have to feel bad for wasting your money. Like let me just take care of it the first time. So I just want to hear your review.
Yeah. Dude, is this the shopping mall that has the movie theater on the top?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Dude, it doesn't even look like it's an actual shopping mall. I feel like I'm going into like someone's apartment. It's so, because it's not really very packed once you go in. Like, they got to do some better marketing on that. But there's some great spots.
No, low key, try going there like a Friday night or Saturday afternoon. You won't find parking. It's insane.
Real? Okay.
Yeah.
It's big with the locals.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Have you been to that movie theater? The seats are like fucking weird.
When I go there, that's where I watch all like my Marvel movies, because I do like a Marvel like podcast with my buddy Tyler. And I go there and they have like a 4D experience, so like the seats move, they'll spray water on you and stuff. So I go there just so I can have a fun story to tell, because something interesting always happens when I go there.
I watched Mario movie there, and I was not expecting there to be Korean subtitles, but I was like, all right, cool, dude.
I forgot what movie I went to watch there, but I remember I was late and the Korean subtitles popped up and I thought I bought the wrong ticket, but it was just like it just so happens like that portion of the movie they were actually speaking Korean. So subtitles popped up. No. I stuck it through because then the movie, it was just like that one small portion, so I was like, oh, this is crazy.
Hell yeah.
Okay, but getting back to the music, have you always been a musician your whole life?
Yeah, I have been pretty much born into it. My dad's a producer. He was like, you know, musician, band guy, played in a couple of bands that like got really good traction. And then, right, you know, a couple years after I was born to stay home, he got into production full time and was able to pick it up and work with people over the years. It's kind of a hobbyist and side thing. And then eventually was able to turn that into his own business, which he really did until 2020. And, you know, that wrecked a bunch of people's businesses and changed a bunch of priorities, because I also have very small siblings. Mm-hmm. Pretty much, you know, my dad, most of his studios until I was maybe about 12, 13 were in the house. So always surrounded by musicians, surrounded by music. It grew up in backstages, et cetera. My dad's playing gigs. So it's kind of hard not to be involved or like music. You know, my dad gave my first guitar, first amp, obviously. So I think I really started taking it seriously, like the instrumentation part of it, at around 13, around eighth grade. Just because, dude, I got Rocksmith.
Oh, and wow.
It didn't really come together like the whole like playing guitar is fun bit. I was really annoyed at playing guitar. And I was like, this shit is too damn hard. I was trying to play Slayer songs on my Line 6 amp. Just wasn't working out. And then after that, being able to play Rocksmith, and I like the progression of it. Like you're playing one out of seven notes, and you're eventually working your way up. And then, you know, eventually I learned how to play My Own Summer by Deftones, and I'm like, dude, this shit's fucking sick. And that's, to be honest, what got me really interested in it, and it only went up from there. I didn't take any classes. My school had like a guitar class program in my high school. So did a year of that, got humbled. I'm like, oh wait, there's people that are way better than me. I suck. And then I joined like this pop music program in high school, which was pretty cool. It wasn't lame. It was like School of Rock, but like cooler and less lame. So just got to be involved with playing with all kinds of different people, styles of music. It was, you know, ultimately very positive and I liked it. And then, you know, my dad being a producer, I had pretty easy access to just make my own shit. I've always been involved in it and had an extremely unique upbringing, but it was ultimately pretty fucking sick.
And at any point, did you ever think that, you know, all this stuff that you've been, you know, going through your whole life would like lead you to playing in a band? Did you have like those aspirations?
The concept of playing in a band was something that I kind of, you know, discovered as being like a possibility. Interestingly enough, maybe when I was like 16, 17, I had my first band. We're called Free Lunch. It was weird. I don't know. It was like a bunch of indie mixed with like goth punk aesthetics. It was something. Our first show was at Archie's Ice Cream in Tustin.
We're in Tustin.
We were just busted. I have no idea. Okay. I don't know the Tustin landscape. It was right by some sort of budget grocery mall thing. Okay. But it was cool. It was extremely small. The sound was horrible because it was marble and steel everywhere. So, but regardless, we were busting out the jams, dude. I think with our original songs, we had like 311 by Amber. Or no, fuck. Oh my God. Not. It went down by 311. Mixed the songs up. And then, like, you know, Smashing Pumpkins, all kinds of weird shit. But that was my first band. We did a couple years and then it fizzled out after COVID.
Okay. And when was your first hardcore band?
Haters will clown me, but, you know, 2021, 2022. First hardcore band. Called Defamation. I started playing drums in that band. Okay. There you go. Pipeline being COVID. I don't know if anyone knows this, but this old rehearsal studio in Huntington Beach called Gothard Sound, crazy cheap. It was awesome. I started working during COVID and I had, you know, couldn't spend money on shit because I wasn't going out at all. So I just spent money, you know, $10 an hour just space just to play drums. Got interested in that because I'm like, you know, do something. And it was cool. So I started playing it a lot more. I was able to fuck around on drums a bunch all my life. You know, it was around in the studio or whatnot. But I started doing that. I played in like this indie band post COVID that had like some short term success. I guess you said, you know, a couple sold out shows in like a 200-300 cap room. It was fun. That ain't a workout. So then I'm like, I'm just going to do me, because that wasn't like a me focused project, you know, someone else's music. And then I started the whole like Defamation bit with really no one who's in my current band, but still good friends of mine. It was cool. We were like playing those hardcore shows that like maybe it's more like punk leaning, you know, like there's, you know, it's very separated in that regard. But you know, it was cool. Our demo is definitely like hardcore punk aesthetic. And then our next release, which contains some friends of mine who are in this Ruin project, was way different, you know. But that was my first hardcore band. I didn't mean to rant too much on that one.
Yeah, that's obviously news to me, because I'm just here trying to figure out like the whole timeline of, you know, your time here in hardcore. So I think it's cool.
I'm probably not very good at talking about it.
But. Yeah, no, I think it's cool that I'm able to go listen to your first hardcore band. Pretty recent, but the quality, if you go back to listen to my first hardcore band, which I don't suggest you do, it's terrible, like really bad. But when I listen to your guys' stuff, I'm like, oh,
that
like
was something.
I didn't listen to that. I didn't like, I couldn't tell, or I didn't even know that like that was your first hardcore band.
Well, I mean, like, I don't know. How old were you when you had your first hardcore band?
I was 19.
Yeah, I mean, I was like 20, 21, so it's like,
yeah, not too far off. You guys are way more talented than.
We recorded that shit live in some dude's shack. It was like a back house. It was obviously like it was his parents' back house.
Okay.
It was all live. Not a whole lot of separation, mm-hmm. but we just ran it for like 4 hours, torturing ourselves trying to make the demo, and then I mixed and mastered it, and that was cool. I've gained. You know, to go into that, I've gained some experience doing that just because, you know, dad would set me up with a rig or let me use his shit and I would just mix my own stuff. If my buddies were doing stuff, like, you know, friends got like, want us to do like a drum cam or some sort of thing, like, I want to practice. And so I'm not that good at it. I took a music tech class in high school to learn about some of the, like, the technicalities of some of the things,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I'm not just totally guessworking it. And if I had a question, my dad would help me, but, what I wanted to do and what, you know, my dad would let me do was just kind of like run it, teach me the basics so I don't explode his computer. And then if I had any questions, hit him up, which has been cool. So I mixed that. It sounds how it sounds. Surprised they made it sound like that with how it was recorded. RIP the Track Shack in Garden Grove.
Track. Yeah. You make it sound like really dingy and dark.
It was kind of dingy and dark, but it was cool. Much love to him. It was just interesting thing. But then our release after that, or I guess for an EP, was like an actual studio. It was called, I don't know. It's some studio in Fullerton, mm-hmm. very close to where I'm from, but with our friend Frank, who it's basically like a collective studio. So this guy owns a studio and he separates time. Through like this, you know, it separates the time and rent with a bunch of like engineers that he likes. So our friend Frank, who I've known from playing shows and doing music for a while, gave us just a good day rate just because he wants people in the studio. We did like guitar and drums there, and then just did vocals and bass in my house, and then just sent it off. I edited it and then just sent it off to Rolly, you know, shout out Teeth and all of his bands that he's been doing, but.
And as far as Defamation playing shows, do you guys have anything lined up?
No, not right now. Nothing's popped up, and just kind of focusing on the Ruin thing right now, as that has, you know, some level of traction, which really just equates to like shows and people saying like, it's cool, dude. I'm like, all right, cool, man.
Yeah. That's how we got here, is just through, you know, obviously I'm from the area, right? I'm like one city over from you, but just seeing it on social media and people speaking positively about the band, that's what made me curious, because obviously I try to be in the know as much as I can with local stuff, because I'm right. Like, you know, really proud to represent Orange County hardcore. And that's one thing that I'm like, you know, super down to do, is like put on for bands from the area. Cause like I said, like we were like in that lull. So I'm just like dying for somebody, anybody to start a band. So to see a new band pop up, and it seems like you guys have some traction going, I wanted to, you know, step in and try to help and do my part. And, you know, like I said, spread the word and awareness for what you guys have going on. But how does Ruin, get started and you guys all, you know, create this new band?
Totally. Well, after I finished writing and editing and recording the Defamation EP, I was really like, fuck, that's a lot of work. I started writing stuff for what I wanted to be was a different project, a little more simple. Not to say poppy, but like things that I can transform into like solid, fun songs. I have a hard time writing shit that isn't like at least to a degree like complex and nerdy. Because to go on maybe, which is something that maybe we missed, is like how I got into like heavy music. Like my dad put on like Slayer, South of Heaven. I'm like, that shit rocks. And then he put on Injustice for All, Metallica. I'm like, that shit rocks. And then 2 days later, he's like, so he puts on a Suffocation. I forgot the album title, but it's the one with League of in Ferocity, and it was freaking sent me into another dimension, dude. And then going from there, you got into all the punk bands and such. So through that a pipeline, I'm always writing like complex shit. I'll send it to the guys. They're like, this shit's lame, dude. I'm like, all right, man. But yeah, I just started writing stuff. Just guitar and MIDI drums and bass. I do a lot of pre-production. Like for the Defamation EP, I did a whole level of pre-production with the real drums and whole vocals and all before we recorded. But this was more chill. And then the product came out really well, so I was excited. So just writing and getting originally just our drummer Benny involved, because he also plays for Defamation. And he said he was always down to be in whatever, you know, I make, you know. And just started making it whenever I had the space in my house. Basically just do vocal tracks over all of it. And, you know, there's nothing really crazy. Just got people involved and then basically did all kinds of pre-production, did drums at Benny's house just with the Scarlett 18 I-20 with some okay drum mics. And then I did all the guitars and the bass, and the writing for it was just me, you know, writing wherever, at school, at home, just thinking about just some negative ass shit. And then that fueled it. And then did vocals at my house, and then just did gangs at like our first practice, actually, is when we did the gang vocals. We just booked an extra hour. And the first time I met some of these people, like in a band context, not just like quick, a hit, what's up at shows, especially Joseph, our guitar player, and Sergio, our bass player. You know, Sergio, I've only seen him at like, you know, obviously like Fatal Wounds gigs and whatnot. But yeah, the process was pretty DIY. And then I mixed it and edited it and all that, and just mastered it with Pete Grossman at Bricktop Studios. And yeah, you know, tried to get some sort of a plan with the, you know, to make it like a cool release. And so far it's been cool. We're just now just playing shows. And just trying to make, I try to make fun content for like our social media and stuff, just so it looks pretty like ordained and whatnot.
Yeah, when I was listening to the, would you call it a demo or an EP since it's your first release?
Demo. I just called it a demo because it's pretty like DIY recording.
Yeah, okay, well, I was listening to the demo and I was like, oh, this is like, I was like, they actually, it seems like they put some care into the recordings. Like, who did this? And I went and saw it, and it was right. Like you who got the credit for it. And I was like, wow, I was like, I didn't even know he did that. And you seem like you have a talent for it, and hearing like the history with your dad, I'm like, okay, cool, like this is like trickling down. Like, have you thought about doing it like more or taking it serious?
No way. I tried for a sec. Well, I mean, I've seen my dad from the ground, from the beginning to, you know, for what now is a pause, into making his whole business. And I tried doing a little bit myself, and I just don't have enough patience for working with clients. I don't like that. I kind of just want to, you know, I'm going to school, working my ass off. I don't really see the need to then try to make this other thing happen. By working with a bunch of people who maybe can be perceived as incompetent. And I just kind of want to do my own thing and use that for my own, you know. But, you know, when it comes to leveling up our shit, of course I'm down to send it out, of course, or work entirely with another people. Like, we already are working on new songs and want to record a split with some of our homies. So, and then just want to like work with like a guy, like that local man guy, Brad, is someone we're really considering working with, because I really want to work with someone who can get the best out of us. Mm-hmm. He's cool ass dude. So thinking about we're working with him, you know, and I don't know anyone else in OC that does stuff that's like within like a reasonable budget. But yeah, I don't know. What was the question? Oh yeah. No, definitely not. Definitely not. I don't like it. A lot of annoying stuff. I don't have as much passion for the essence of audio engineering. Like some main things like drum editing, I find god awful. But it's fun when it's my own thing. And I'm like, oh, I finally, you know, made the kick audible. sick, cool. But you know, just kind of worked at it until it was good, and it started getting to a place where I liked how it sounded fairly quick, because I was just about to start my semester at school, and that shit takes a lot of time. And if I don't stop on myself, I'll just be working on it for like hours, letting all my assignments just be late. But thankfully, I got it mixed pretty fast and edited and all that.
Yeah, well, I think you did a great job with it. Like I said, I feel like I've been cursed with since I do this podcast, and like I do everything right. I do all the editing and everything, and
yeah,
I've had to like teach myself through watching YouTube videos and reading stuff on Reddit. I hear audio different, which like I'm like nitpicky, where like all like I just watched this Zane Lowe interview. He interviewed Blink-182. And
oh, I love that. Yeah, that dude, that was so sick.
Yeah, great interview. But like when I'm listening to certain parts of the audio, I'm like, dude, this is like a big like platform. Like I know they have to have like a certain amount of budget, or you know, very experienced people, but I was like, I could have done a way better job with that audio editing.
I mean, but there's like, I think there's like, that's the point. Maybe there's a certain like charisma to it. They're just out, you know, they're playing ping pong at the start of it, and they're just going around the studio. For sure, it could be better, but it definitely isn't so bad where it's like, all right, you can hear a good amount of the room, and it's maybe there's, you know, they could have like an actual boom mic, but otherwise, you know, I think that's the charisma to it, especially with his entire vibe throughout the whole interview. It's very laid back.
A great interview, though. I don't listen to all of his interviews. Awesome. I've listened to a couple, but that was a special one. I'm a huge fan of Blink.
No, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely because I wanted to watch Blink. For sure.
Okay. And how many shows has Ruin done? Because you guys are a fairly new band.
Two. Well, technically.
Because there was that secret set, right?
Yeah, we were just fucking goofing off on Discord. Like, you know, I was going to go to the show, and then I realized everyone in our band's going to the show, because obviously Sergio plays in Ozai, and Joey and Benny play in Provoke. Like, what if we do a secret set? And we just couldn't get it out of our heads. So we just infiltrated the group chat, and we're like, it's going to work, you know, like 8-minute set, because we're just going to cut our cover. And it was awesome. It was cool. Great way to get like the bugs out, because I'd never fronted a band. One of the reasons why I wanted to do this project was so I can front a band, because I kind of romanticized the idea. And then now I'm like, damn, it's really hard, and I feel extremely awkward. But it's cool. But technically, too. We got our first show with Moral Law at the Haven a week or two back. And then we just played a show last night at Bricks Bar with Human Garbage, Urn, and Twist of Cane, which was awesome. Shout out Ground Zero.
Okay. Yeah, shout out Ground Zero. They do cool stuff. And you guys are playing a show tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah, with the fuck, it was like 800 bands or some shit. It was like Terrena, Abstain, Abominate, Life Turns Cold, First Reality. Shout out Jeff, shout out Inland Hardcore at some place. I don't even know, but it looks cool. Like it just, you know, I don't know. T.S. Walls were playing there. So I'm like, all right, cool. It's gotta be good.
Yeah. Shout out Jeff too. Shout out Wig Splitter. Jeff does awesome stuff. I'm a fan of him and what he's doing for hardcore. Cause you know, shout out, you know, Inland Empire Hardcore.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's doing great stuff. He's going to come on the podcast in the future.
Oh, that's dope. Yeah. Him, Andres, Gabe, too, are just some people. So a few people in AIM are really keeping it going. It's pretty sick.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. And you mentioned a split. Can you talk about like what bands you want to do with, or who you're going to do with, or is it too early?
It's just kind of the works. I don't know. Who gives a fuck, right? It's probably we want to do it with our friends in Provoke. Cause it's and they're a really sick band. It's a little bit different, but would still mesh well. We could, you know, we want to do it all together, and we have some bleeding band members, so it just kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see another way of doing it. Just because it would be fun. I feel like it would be authentic, and that's a big thing that I want to come across as too. I don't want to be inauthentic, because I know how it looks, and it looks pretty bad. So I just want to be as authentic as I can possibly. Be and you know, like I was saying earlier, like I'm, you know love to the youth and all that, but like I'm just here trying to my only goal with all of this is really just to build it so where we can just play cool shows. I just want to play cool shows and, you know, have a good time.
Yeah. Well, no, I think so far you guys are doing a good job, because I feel like you guys have a really good base, like especially when it comes to just in terms of the music. So I feel like that's where obviously like people are going to, you know, judge you guys off of that. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, we might not know who these, you know, people are, but the music's good. So like, let's just kind of, you know, focus on that. And then, you obviously, hearing you talk about wanting to do more with the band, you guys like have that passion and to, you know, hear, you just want to, you know, contribute. I think that's really awesome and important, because, you know, obviously there's a ton of people who come into this, you know, expecting, you know, things and, you know, not even wanting to do things totally for hardcore.
Yeah. And that's just, you know, it's proven. It gets you nowhere.
Yeah. It's 100% true. Cause trust me, I've seen a ton of it, and it's always the same old story too, which
almost,
is always strange.
It's almost like a greater percentage of the bands.
Yeah. Yeah. No, trust me. There's that's why I'm so jaded, with meeting a lot of certain people. So that's why it's really refreshing when I meet,
right,
you know, someone like you, who's, you know, doing a new band, trying to, you know, actually put in the work and, you know, rep it and, you know, keep it going. I think that's what I like, you know, getting out of this, right? Obviously, like, I do this because this is my way of giving back, because I'm not going to be in a band, or I'm not going to, you know, book any more shows or anything like that. So this is my way of giving back. So when I'm able to meet people who are actually, you know, authentic, who are real, that's where I'm like, all right, this is awesome, because I know that the scene's in good hands.
Oh yeah. What was the last show you booked? Was it that program gig?
No, the last show I booked was
I thought you booked that one with Lacerated or whatever, that one band.
No. The last show I booked was actually not Prowl that just happened, but the Prowl back in March.
Okay, yeah. So there's a couple before that. Okay, yeah. What makes you not want to do it anymore?
Oh, there's a long list of things. There's some things that I don't want to say publicly, just because I don't want to, you know, don't want to tear anyone down. But a lot of it is, you know, like just people just not sticking to their word, right? Like I said it a couple episodes ago, like, you know, bands will agree to something, and I'll go out of my way to get everything in place, right? I'll get the venue, I'll have bands on deck ready to play the show, but then when it comes down to it, like, for whatever reason, they'll just ghost me, or they'll you know, just
people have ghosted you. That's horrible.
Yeah. And you know, like, just like, you know, I'm sure you'll find, you know, you stick around long enough, like, you'll meet some fake people.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I know. I've booked like a good amount of shows. Mm-hmm. And that's just stressful, dude. I'm never trying to do that unless like I have something where I'm like, all right, this could be dope.
Yeah, that's why I don't know. Yeah, that's why I give a lot of respect to, you know, people like Kenny, and we mentioned just Jeff, like, you know, to be able to put up with, you know, booking shows, it takes a lot. Like, as fun as people think it is, it's a lot of work that, you know, goes on behind the scenes. It's not just like, hey, like, I want to book a show, let me call this band and blah, blah, blah. No, there's like a lot of moving parts.
I don't know. If you don't already have a good amount of connections, it's not a whole lot of fun. I don't know. You know, not a huge fan. Imagine being a promoter in Orange County, like, ugh. You know, I feel like there's a limited amount of spots, especially accredited spots. You know, there's places, but like places that people actually want to play are kind of limited in Orange County right now, it seems.
Yeah, but also, you got to think too.
Not DIY.
What, we're in the middle of, like, you know, LA and San Diego, so it's like we have to come up with something enticing to get bands to want to come here if they're already playing LA or San Diego. So
yeah, and I don't know. I honestly feel like the community, you know, there's a lot of people I don't even know are from Orange County who are like dope, but I think you know, and then I find out, but I feel like the community as a whole is, you know, there's obviously Orange County has its stigmas, but really great community. Like when they show out at gigs in Orange County, especially program, it's a great vibe. So I don't know. You know, I think there just needs to be better venues. Maybe the HOA can like chill the fuck out, but or something, because I don't know. It seems to be just a lot of, you know, weird venues that just have like weird gigs. I don't want to be weird, but you know.
Yeah, but that's why I'm hoping when bands or people come out and see, you know, Whirlwind, Major Pain, Ruin, you know, bands like that, where they're like, okay, cool, like these guys are from Orange County, like what's going on out there? Like, let's go out there, let's see what's going on, or let's go play out there, because people want to play Program, like people want to play Orange County. It's just
I'm dying to play that thing, dude. I'm bugging Kenny once or twice a week.
Yeah,
so, yeah, I'm trying. Well, you got to book like 800 years in advance, though. So
yeah, well, yeah. There's always like, it's surprising too, because when I book there, like there's rap shows, there's all sorts of shows going on there that aren't just hardcore. Shit. It's crazy.
Oh yeah, there's like comedy shows and shit.
See, I didn't even know they're doing comedy shows. That's crazy to me,
dude. That guy from Jackass, like the I don't know what's the word, the short, the dwarf. I don't know what the word is for it. That guy did like a stand-up set there. That was kind of cool.
Oh really? I didn't even know that. That's crazy.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Pee Wee, dude, it was sick. But yeah, you know, it's cool.
Okay. That's wild. Good old Program. And for you, you know, growing up in Orange County, you know, how cool is it to be a part of like the scene? Not only like just attending shows, but actually like, you know, being in a band. Because when I look back at like the long list of Orange County hardcore bands, like it was like I didn't realize that it was so influential, like on just like my youth. Because like, you know, Throwdown is like the reason I'm like straight edge, right? And when I look at a band like Fury, right, to get me through like the rough years of living in Orange County alone and not really even knowing anybody, like I was like, I can't, you know, leave this, because I fucking love Fury and like they're such a great representation of hardcore. I was like, and to be able to live in the same, you know, area that they're from, it was such a, you know, important thing for me to stay.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty cool. I mean, for one, I really do like love Orange County and the area, you know, comparatively to in SoCal, it's my favorite place, I'll say, within the Southern California area. I don't know. I like it. Oh, sorry. There's a lot to do. You know, great place to grow up. You know, well, did Disneyland's dope. I'm big Angels fan.
Oh, you know? Really?
Yeah, classic white dude aesthetic.
No, it's just you know, I feel like I, you know, obviously I root for the Angels because I live here. Because growing up, I grew up in like the Palm Springs area, so there's no major league teams from out there. So when I moved to Orange County,
nothing to do at all.
Not a whole lot, but moving to Orange County and, you know, driving through Anaheim and seeing like, you know, banners in the city of downtown repping the Ducks and the Angels, I'm like, oh shit, like I live in a place where we actually have like these major league teams, like let me you know, check it out and get into it. So shout out the Angels.
Yeah, I'm the worst though. I always want to be in that dude convo about sports. I'm like, this guy's doing this, like, you know, how he's gonna do. I don't keep up with any sports at all. It's so hard because I'm such a nerd about some other shit. I'm a straight like iPad kid. Most of my media consumption is music and like YouTube.
Okay.
I'll be at the gym 90% of the time on the treadmill. I'm watching like a 197 video or something, just because that's just the, you know, or like some political commentator shit, really. But yeah, but also being from Orange County, I do love just repping the teams that are around here, and I like going to the games and stuff, and that I feel like that adds enough, because otherwise it's like I gotta get all kinds of apps on my phone to keep up with all this shit. And I don't know, the thing that I keep up with the most is probably basketball. I'm a big Lakers fan. Would say I'm a bandwagon though. I've been a fan since 09, so I've been through it all,
really. I'm a huge fan of K-pop, and there's this group called Le Sserafim, and they just came to America for the first time, and they landed in New York, did some stuff in New York, and then they came to LA. And one of the first things they did was they went to a Lakers game, which I thought was wild because I was literally there like 2 nights before. And so they were there. Like I knew they're gonna be there because they're on this crazy press run. But yeah, so they went to the Lakers game, and then the Laker girls, is that what they're called? I don't know what they're called. The cheerleaders?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Yeah. Well, during...
That is it, the Laker girls.
Okay, yeah. I guess like during the halftime show, they performed one of the songs from Le Sserafim. And I guess that night... basketball is probably like one of the sports that I know least about, but I guess is his name Austin Evans? Austin something? Austin Reeves?
I don't even know.
Okay.
I think it's Reeves.
Yeah, apparently he killed it that night, which was like, I guess, like unusual. And everybody was saying it, saying he did so well because he was trying to riz up Le Sserafim, which I thought was pretty funny.
Crazy.
Yeah, but dude, yeah,
there you go.
But they're on a crazy press run. They were at the Grammys last night, like the Grammys Museum. They like did like an intimate like concert, and they're performing at BlizzCon this weekend because they did a collab with...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they did a collab with Overwatch, and they had like some skins and stuff, so they're actually performing at the convention.
Very smart.
Yeah. It's smart too, and like their label announced that they were coming to America like early in the year. They're like, hey, like Le Sserafim's finally gonna make it to America like quarter four, and everyone thought it was gonna be for like a tour because like that's like the big thing right now is like, you know, since the world opened back up, a lot of K-pop acts are finally able to come to America and tour and have like a great success, and they're like one of the best groups out right now. So it was like a no brainer that if they come to America, they would have success. So everybody assumed it was going to be a tour, but it's not. It's actually just for this crazy press run, and it's about to end.
Crazy route, New York to LA.
Yeah, New York to LA, and then you know, the finale is at BlizzCon. So it's unusual.
Where was that at? I don't know.
Oh, it's happening at the convention center. The convention center in Anaheim.
Oh.
Yeah, it's happening. Wow. It's literally happening. Yeah, tomorrow, Ruins playing, and then Le Sserafim.
Are you going? Bummer, dude, I can't make it.
Yeah, no.
I'm not a huge K-pop head, but I have seen Blackpink, so that was cool.
When? I'm curious.
I don't know. A year ago, my mom was going, and she's like, you know, I'm like, can I come? Because I don't want you to like go there alone. And it was cool. It was freaking sick.
Was it at the BMO Stadium?
It was at the Forum maybe a year or two ago. It was cool. It was fresh off Coachella weekend or before. It was cool. I liked them. They were doing like reggae breakdowns and shit. It was crazy. Yeah. Another thing about me, huge reggae head.
Oh, really? See, I know.
Another HB white guy aesthetic. That's just, unfortunately, I'm, you know.
But I feel like reggae and the beach go hand in hand. I feel like you go to any beach, like someone's...
I'm not even a beach guy, though. I'm not like, I went to Huntington Beach High School. So many blonde white guys who surf. My dad even surfs. Really? He's cool. But I just couldn't get into it. Like things like that and skating. Like, I obviously, if you look at me, like, you know, like, niches and fits like that, but I can't do it. I'll try skating and I'm just a clumsy motherfucker. I try surfing, tried it for a year, couldn't even stand up once.
So, oh, wow.
All right, I suck at this. Went to a whole camp, so I'm just bad at that. But I, you know, and I'm also petrified of the ocean.
Yeah,
and just, all that's inside of it besides the water.
Yeah, stay out of there. There's aliens and shit down there,
literally. Yeah, like some weird ass shit in the ocean. Like, why would I want to go there? But, you know, if I'm surfing, though, like, I will forget about that because I'm so busy. And then, yeah, when I was in high school, like, I would do it for, like, a year. And then my friends would be like, hey, let's go down on, like, 17th Street. And that's, like, the harshest break in all of HB. And I'm just like, oh hey, what's up? My girlfriend's here.
Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome. But like, yeah, I would basically just get fucked on 17th Street trying to paddle so hard. And, you know, that's another reason why I didn't make a whole lot of friends in high school.
Yeah, Huntington Beach. There's two things that I think of when I think of Huntington Beach, and that's Hello Goodbye, one of the best bands that come out of Orange County. I don't care what anyone says. And the infamous Tito Ortiz, the Huntington Beach bad boy.
Dude, I saw that guy. I was in Pacific City on some date that went really bad. But like, no one was there. It was like that place closed at like around 6 or 7. I was just walking and just see this dude in like obviously like a like an Air Force bomber jacket uh-huh. with his family. And it was pretty cool. I was like, all right, dude. But then also like, he's just come back and was, you know, he's down for HBPD. And HBPD is like fully racist. The stuff that they did with like the comparison of interactions between the whole anti-vax pro-Trump protest that would happen mm-hmm. and the BLM protest was completely unnecessary. Like for the anti-vax thing, they were just basically, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of things going on. It was just pure chaos because it's like a whole bunch of weirdos in Huntington Beach. You know, because I don't like going downtown.
Yeah,
dude. I don't live there anymore.
Yeah,
I live in Fullerton, but it's tough. It's like it's like people like at night on a weekend. It's like people who don't want to go to LA but act all like weird. You know, because all the bars are, you know, it's all bad. It's all bad.
Yeah, I'll never go to Main Street on like a weekend just because it's like hella racist there.
I did that one time. Yeah, no, it's bad. It's like, no, like the Andrew, the whatever, the Channel 5 video from when he went down there.
I've never seen it.
Accurate. Oh, yeah. He like goes down there during the, I want to say the BLM, during the BLM protests, and it was, you know, crazy. But yeah, they obviously had a very aggressive reaction to that, and that was mainly just because actual Nazis were instigating you know, dudes with like, you know, 714 tattoos, like types of dudes I would see at like the Orange County punk shows. You know, it was just, and then and me seeing that at gigs when I was 16, 17, I was like, didn't really click. And then after it, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, bands like Smut Peddlers are pretty bad. Yeah. And whatnot, but yeah, HP is pretty screwed up. I don't even like going to the beach. And the surrounding inner cities are not very cool. Fullerton, Garden Grove, but they have great, like they have they're really good for the cultural niches that are within it, like little Saigon. They have like their own thing, and there's a couple of good restaurants, but overall, I'm not really not vibing with it. It feels like one big shopping mall.
Yeah, well, the Asian influence in Fullerton is, you know, pretty awesome. Because if you think, like, just in the little shopping centers near Program, there's, like, some really awesome restaurants right there.
Of course. I'm just saying more in the Fullerton and Garden Grove areas. It's just very intensive on a suburbia. At least with Fullerton, it's a college town, you know, in some way. So it's pretty interesting. And the downtown's cool. I mean, downtown is, like, I feel like a lot of like Gen Xers, but it's still pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely not as racist as Main Street in Huntington.
No, yeah, can't really do. I mean, people, you know, Nazis are everywhere. You know, they're not just in HB.
Yeah,
they're prominent.
Yeah, I feel like I could,
but they're trying to kick them all out, obviously, because they're trying to gentrify Huntington Beach, downtown. They got like, you know, really expensive hotels there. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to, you know, make it an extension of like Newport and Laguna is what I think, which isn't dope at all. Yeah,
it's like I like Laguna, but it's just too far. I'm just like,
it's a mob. Yeah, you got to go down those weird highways. I'm not a huge fan, but you know, when you get to the beach like that or on like those cliff sides, it's pretty fucking sick.
Yeah, I remember. Some friends were in town from Vegas, and one of their friends was wanting to go see like the cliffs from the opening of the show Laguna Beach, and I had no idea. Awesome. I had no idea that was actually down here. So I'm like, oh shit, that's here, like let's go. So we went and I was tripping out. I'm like, holy shit, this is it. This is like actually, like,
yeah, there's a really beautiful spots there. It's pretty awesome. It's like, you know, if I have the time, it's my go-to for a day now. But I grew up, a lot of my growing up is in Sunset Beach, which is right down PCH past Huntington Beach towards Long Beach, which is like a small like beach town. I mean, they got annexed by HB and they're trying to do the whole gentrification bit. They got like the Mother's Market, you know, on the shopping mall now. It's like
too healthy for me.
It's not just too healthy, it's just too expensive. You get healthy shit anywhere. It's just like a bunch of you know, snake oil. But
I say this buddy, he would always want to go to Mother's Market for the vegan burritos, and I'm like, this tastes okay. Like,
I will say though, very expensive groceries, but the food for like food to price ratio is amazing.
Yeah, but
you get like the acai bowl, that's like this fucking big ass thing for like, I don't know how much, but not that expensive considering if you're one of the, you know, if one of the jacks, it goes to like a Blue Bowl or something.
Yeah, I'd rather go to like Whole Foods or Sprouts or something, which is
Whole Foods got that fruit tart. I can't get enough of it.
I've never had it. I always get like the pizza.
Oh, you got to get on it.
Okay.
Oh, is the pizza good? I never had it.
It's okay. When I used to go there for the pizza, I thought it was good, but I've had real pizza.
Compared to Costco. What about Costco? Yeah.
I'd go with Costco over.
I know. It's awesome. It's the best. What kind of pizza have you had on the... I've had like one like Connecticut pizza spot, but like what's your go-to like Northeast? Because I know you've been there a lot. What's your go-to like Northeast pizza spots?
Jerry's Pizza in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. The best pizza spot on earth. Like literally the best pizza spot.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I do. Like I said, I'm an iPad baby, so I'm watching every single podcast, and I know about it all. I'm familiar.
Yeah, I was very surprised when I was talking to you at a program, and you told me that you went to Connecticut for a show. And
Just my mom lives out there, and so I'll go visit her. And then in that, I'm like, dude, I got to catch some shows. There was that last Wham Leg show, mm-hmm. and then I had to get the Connecticut pizza. Sally's was very packed. Didn't have the time. So I went to Modern's. Shit was dope. It was awesome. Shit's awesome, dude. And then, I think it's heavily covered, but from when I went, my favorite place in the New York area to get pizza is Lay Industry.
Okay.
In Brooklyn. It's awesome. Had a lot of really bad pizza in New York, too.
Same here.
Especially near, like, Central Park, like Ray's. I'm like, this is, like, a greasy piece of shit.
I was very surprised.
Brooklyn has a lot of really good spots.
Okay, the best pizza spot that I went to was in Brooklyn, so mind you, this was like 2016, so that obviously there's like more pizza spots that have popped up since then. But when I was in New York, we were in Brooklyn, and there's this guy. His name is Frank Panillo. He has done a lot of videos with like Vice, and he had his own pizza show on Vice, and. Oh. And he has
that guy's awesome.
Yeah, and he has his own pizza shop in Brooklyn. It's called Best Pizza, and literally went in there, and it was really good. Not the best pizza because Jerry's is the best, but Best Pizza in Brooklyn.
Oh, it's like that chain, right? Is it that chain?
No, it's like just one location in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
he also owns like a dollar slice chain too.
Okay. Yeah. No, this definitely wasn't dollar slice. This was crazy. It was such a relief too, because we had such crappy pizza. And I remember we went there right when they opened, probably around like 10 a.m. And I was just like, guys, I was like, before we leave, cause it was our last day in New York. And we're going to actually head to, we were going to Boston after that. I was like, we just have to go to Frank Panillo's. I was like, please just let this be our redemption. If it sucks, then fine. We've had a bad experience. But if not, like, you know, we can be happy. We had good pizza, and luckily it was great.
Seems to definitely be in all the touristy areas where all the bad, shitty pizza is, all like 8,000 Rays or whatever.
Yeah, we got off the plane, and I remember one of the guys we went with, we're like, hey, find us a good pizza spot. And he took us to some like Z Pizza knockoff. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me, dude? Yeah. I was like, what are you doing? I was like, we're in New York. Let's get better pizza than this crap. Dude,
when I was in New York last, my girl and I were, dude, she's got me on this shit where I just look at TikToks for like, you know, best whatever in whatever area. And I don't know, I found some dope ass bagels. So I was pretty stoked.
Yeah.
Big bagel guy.
Yeah, there's this new spot that's just opening up. I saw a special on YouTube. I can't remember whose video it was, but the singer of Warthog, he does his own pizza, and it's called Chrissy's Pizza, and that's something that I'm like wanting to try. But it's like super hyped up. What's his name from Barstool went and like reviewed it, and it got really good reviews.
Yeah. Oh, dope!
Yeah, so shout out Chrissy's Pizza. Yeah, and it's cool that
a good amount.
Yeah, and to find out about because obviously like I know Warthog, but I didn't know, like, I don't know the singer, but to find out that he does this pizza thing on the side. I thought it was really awesome, just because this is just me watching random food stuff on YouTube and stumbling across it, and then it all ties back to hardcore. I'm like, oh, this is sick. But yeah, so Connecticut, and was it cool for you to travel for travel and get to go to a hardcore show in like another state on the other side of the country?
Yeah, obviously it's awesome to see and to try to look at parallels. The whole spot was like, have you been to Wembley?
Never, no.
Super. I was not expecting it to be as like DIY as it was. Like, you're just in a neighborhood. It's like a big lot and just a small house with super weird architecture. Like, you know, really big living room, two small rooms, and like a basement, and big lots and whatnot. And just seeing people, you know, you see on the internet like Lumpy and shit. And
shout out Days.
Crazy enough. Yeah, it was like, oh shit, dude, dope. I only see this guy like, you know, whenever his bands or he's doing stuff in California. So that was interesting. And, you know, Anxious and Wreckage were set to play, but power went out, or like the power got fucked up or something. And Anthony Fantano was there, which is very interesting. I'm like, all right. But it was, you know, I asked him a kind of a punishing question because, you know, being in, growing up in Huntington Beach, I have white friends who are into rap music. So I asked him some punishing question and he was not stoked. But then he showed up right before Wreckage and Anxious and he got no show. So I'm like, joke's on you. But that was friggin' awesome. Like seeing bands like Balmora, X Nomad X, I want to say some other bands. I don't know. I got there right after Vomit 4 and it was super sick. Those people have an incredible resistance to heat because it was the hottest fucking place of all time in there. It was incredible. But it was pretty awesome. A lot more similarities than I thought, which was cool.
Yeah. I love being able to travel and get to experience other scenes. That's something that I wish I was able to do when I was younger, but I was, you know, obviously broke and no money, so I could never travel when I was younger. So the fact that I'm able to do it,
oh yeah,
now that I'm older and I have money, it's always something cool for me to be able to have friends in all these other states and for them to, you know, have a cool hardcore scene to travel to. It's really fun, and I encourage everybody who hasn't done it, that wants to do, just curious, yeah, go travel and go experience hardcore in other cities, other countries. It's really awesome.
Oh yeah, no, I went to go like visit my mom, so like it definitely wasn't like something that I financed, you know, for sure. But it was a side quest. It was a pretty cool side quest. But the, I don't know, driving there is the landscape is very beautiful. Once you get out of the New York area, you go more upstate, it's friggin' awesome. Something that you really don't get around here until you go to maybe a national forest of some sort, and it's not even close to it as green. So that's something I really do appreciate about, I guess it would be a majority of America is very green comparatively to lots of parts of California.
Yeah, I remember when we were driving through, I don't remember where we were exactly, but we were on the way to Boston, and it was like late October because we were doing like a bunch of like Halloween stuff, and actually just like seeing like the trees change colors, it's like, oh, this is like actually like the movies, this is real, this is like, it feels like actually like fall weather versus back home, you know, the palm trees don't really change colors like that.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, I didn't think people were serious and they're like, oh, you guys have like no seasons, like, you know, and things like that, but that's pretty true. I'm like, wow, you know, there's trees, it's pretty incredible. It's not all fog and pollution.
Yeah, 100%. Well, Noah, this has been awesome. I'm, you know, very happy to be able to have you on the podcast and, you know, have you tell your story. But before we sign off, is there anything else you would like to say?
No, you know, shout out all my friends, shout out, you know, Orange County, you know, listen to my music if you care. But, you know, Jamie, really appreciate you having me on, dude. It's been awesome. I'm stoked to live the Gen Z, you know, dream, you know, being a male talking on a podcast is pretty dope.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm happy you're able to live that dream. Everybody go listen to Ruin. Thank you, Noah, for coming on the podcast. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back soon.